Mr. Smith, thank you for coming to our show and giving our audience the benefit of your knowledge regarding HARP. And for the benefit of our audience, what is the name of the particular book that we're discussing?
It's HARP, The Ultimate Weapon of the Conspiracy, published by Adventures Unlimited Press.
And your website is?
JerryESmith.com, JerryESmith.com. You don't even need the darn W's to get there.
Okay. What does the word HARP stand for, and would you please describe to the audience how it works?
HARP is the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. It is a field of antennas located in southeastern Alaska that is so linked together as to work as one giant antenna. When completed, now scheduled for 2007, it will be the world's largest radio broadcasting station. But it's not designed to broadcast for human ears. It's designed to inject radio frequency energy into a spot at the top of the atmosphere. The numbers they're pushing around are pretty amazing. When completed, it will be able to inject upwards from 3.6 billion watts of radio frequency energy. To give you an idea how much that is, the largest legal AM radio station in the United States is 50,000 watts. HARP is 72,000 50,000 watt radio stations, injecting the energy into a spot that will be about 12.5 miles across by about 2.5 miles deep, by between 50 and 90 miles up at the very top of the atmosphere.
That's a sizable amount of energy going out into space. Can you give us some sort of an idea as to what the ionosphere is, in other words, the distance that it covers from this planet Earth?
Sure. The ionosphere is the topmost layer of the atmosphere. It's called the ionosphere because that's where ions are made. And ions are particles of molecules that have been broken apart and given an electrical charge. This radiation of ionization occurs because the sun is an ongoing nuclear explosion blowing bits of atoms at us, hard radiation. The hard radiation strikes the air molecules, breaks them apart, and gives them a charge. The HARP array is designed to do essentially the same thing. It's designed to inject enough energy into this spot to heat the spot by several thousand degrees, which blows apart the molecules of the atmosphere, giving them a charge and creating what are called plasmas. Now, when you do this, you know, they say that they're doing this so as to mimic what the sun does so they can understand better how the sun affects the top of the atmosphere. Those who have researched the project are not convinced. It looks more like they intend to do something very specific with it. And it looks like what they plan to do, the reason for the project is to see if they can create a weapon out of this, if they can weaponize the atmosphere.
Now, up to date, do we have any concept as to how this beam is going to affect the ionosphere?
Well, we do know that this is called ionospheric heating. Ionospheric heating has been played with by scientists around the world since the 1970s. There are about 20 ionospheric heaters that we know of in use around the world today. When you heat the ionosphere, it does a number of things. Mostly because you heat it, convection sends it out into space or moves it around, changes its shape, and in doing that, it changes the way radio frequencies, radio waves bounce off of it. The reason why you can hear late at night an AM station halfway across the country is because the AM radio is bouncing off the ionosphere. Now, by doing this, they believe that they can both jam enemy radio communications and keep their own communications open. They can they're using this technology to develop artificial bounce spots. When you inject this energy into the top of the atmosphere and literally blow apart the molecules of it, this gives off a stream of ELF, extremely low frequency radio waves, which penetrate deep into the Earth and deep into the sea. And with this, you can do a number of things. One of which is called Earth Penetrating Tomography, which is a brand new science, did not exist before 1980. And this has been described as a dirt radar, like cat scanning the Earth, in which if you have the right guys, the right equipment in the right place, you can read the backscatter. You can read the return from underground. So you can use Earth Penetrating Tomography to see what's underground. The United States Senate funded the HARP project to do this. It's funded under counterproliferation studies, in which they believe that HARP could be used to locate and monitor enemy underground facilities for the manufacture and launch of weapons of mass destruction. The United States Navy also got in on the project because they thought since these waves travel deep into the sea as well as deep into the Earth, they could use it to communicate with deeply submerged submarines, which apparently they have been doing for several years now.
You're talking about these beams being bounced back to Earth. Do we have any concept at this point as to just how far into the Earth these beams will penetrate?
Not really. This is still a very new science, and there is a great deal of debate in the scientific literature how deep it goes, from a quarter of a kilometer down to several kilometers.
We were talking earlier about how HARP broadcast for a period of time, and then they stopped their schedule for a period of time. Do we have any idea right now as to the schedule that they take, as to how long they transmit and how long they might be silent on sending out these radio waves?
At this exact moment, I'm a little vague on that answer. Here's what I know. Is that they started the project in the early 1990s. They're building it incrementally. They put up a few towers. The HARP site is a field of towers that are 72 feet tall with cross dipole antennas like big X's at the top of the towers. And they put up a few of those and wired them up to see if it worked. And it did. The stuff they bought worked. So they go, okay, this is cool. And they put up more towers and more antennas and try to get the field to output the way they thought it would. And it did. So they go, oh, this is cool. So they put up more towers and more antennas. And somewhere along the line, they got their funding cut. Somewhere around 2000, 2002, right in there, they ran out of money. And they just sort of sat there and drummed their fingers for a couple of years. And then in 2003, the money train started up again, and they got the money to finish building what they call the IRI, or the Final Ionospheric Research Instrument. The IRI is the field of antennas that are linked together into one big antenna. The contract to finish it, was given to British Aerospace, their North American division, is BAE Systems North America. The BAE Systems division that got the project was originally called Information and Electronic Warfare Division. They have since changed it to something like Information Solutions. They've given it some smiley face happy name, but it's their electronic and information warfare division that is building it. The project is being managed by DARPA, which is the Defense Advanced Research Projects agency. And to give you an idea who DARPA is, if you've seen any of the James Bond movies, you know there's this guy Q who makes all the crazy gadgets for Bond. Imagine Q with tens of thousands of employees and billions of dollars of budget. That's what DARPA does. And the DARPA has eight directorates, and HARP is being conducted in TTO, the Tactical Technical Office. Their primary area of research are what they call force multipliers, which is things that can help a military force by increasing its impact. Such as if you could control the weather, you would have a substantial force multiplier in that you could make bad weather over the enemy or good weather over yourself, that sort of thing. And the project is managed by a guy named Dr. Sheldon Meth, M-E-T-H. And Dr. Meth runs two other projects, something called Air Laser, which I gather is some sort of an airborne laser weapon, and something with the telltale acronym of Mayhem. The project is named Mayhem, which is Magnetohydrodynamic Explosive Munition. The military just loves these acronyms. So Dr. Meth does Air Laser, HARP, and Mayhem.
Well, it seems like this started out as a relatively small project and has been increasing as time goes on. Do we know if there are other locations besides Alaska where these installations are being planned or started?
That's one of those yes and no sort of answers, in that we do know that there are. HARP is unique in that it is the only site that we know of that uses a technique for sequencing the firing of the antennas in the field so as to force the energy to be focused in a specific location in the sky. All the other ionosphere heaters just generally broadcast and hope to get an effect. And there are about 20 ionosphere heaters scattered around the planet. Six or seven are in the former Soviet Union. One is in Norway. One is at Arecibo in Puerto Rico, and so on. There are rumors of HARP-like facilities in Australia. There is some sort of a project being constructed in Greenland that may be a HARP-like. And then there are other strange projects like Super DARN. Super DARN, I believe the DARN is dual Arctic radar thing and network, that dual radar Arctic radar network, Super DARN. And this is radar dishes scattered completely in a circle around the Arctic Sea, pointed straight up. And I have yet to figure out exactly what it is that they're doing, because what they're doing doesn't really make any sense in layman's terms.
Now, these antenna are being directed straight into the atmosphere, and the thought occurs to me as this is happening, their equipment is running, the Earth is rotating. Do we have any thoughts from scientists as to what kind of tear or opening that is occurring in the ionosphere? Is it fair to say that with the rotation of the Earth and these rays being beamed out, that we are in essence tearing a piece of the ionosphere?
A number of people have pointed that out as to whether scientists are grasping that. Is another question. All the scientific material I have read, that the scientists poo-poo it as being, oh, it's of no concern. But those of us who are not scientists in the payroll of the people who are running the project are a bit more concerned about it.
And we probably don't have any ideas or thoughts about whether this is causing any melting of the Arctic ice pack. I guess we could, or do we have any link or connection between the two, since these rays are being bounced back down to Earth? Any thought on that?
I wish I had a good answer for that. This is an area I'm currently researching. I'm working on a new book on geophysical warfare, mm-hmm. and I'm trying hard to understand the relationship between these various projects and the weather. And what I have concluded is that I initially started trying to figure out, okay, the way to prove that it's artificial weather is to understand natural weather. And so I've been doing a crash study in meteorology, and I've come to the conclusion that the foundation principles, the paradigm that meteorology is based on is simply dead wrong. It's all based on local, meteorology is based on these ideas about pressure and water vapor, and wind in the atmosphere, and they don't take into consideration, electrical qualities or, extrasolar, things beyond the planet. And it looks like there are a lot of factors that affect weather that the guys who are doing it are ignoring. And so, there does seem to be a real relationship between the electricity generated by man and, what happens in the atmosphere. There's something called a power line, resonance, which, the power grid is generating electrical storms. The over North America, the number and violence of electrical storms has increased 700% since the turn of the last century, and this seems to be related to electrical charges from power lines and radio stations affecting the electrodynamics of the atmosphere. Now, I'm still in trying to figure this out, so this is why what I'm saying doesn't make a great deal of sense, because I'm still trying to get the ideas to line up in my head.
You've given us a lot of information. There's just one other little point I kind of wanted to explore. We're talking about these radio frequencies being a heater and heating the ionosphere, and we're also mentioning that this energy now is being bounced back to Earth. Now, do we have any reason to believe, or any, what your thoughts might be, it, when this bounces back to Earth, is this carrying the heat with it, or does the heat stay in the ionosphere, or is this a point where we don't know what the answer is yet?
I don't think we're getting heat back, but we are getting radio frequency energy back. And what initially made me concerned about the HAARP project is that the ELF that is coming back to us and through us uses exactly the same frequency that the human brain works at. And it struck me that we now know that the human brain is a radio transceiver, that it is affected by external radio communication. If you go to any New Age bookstore or flip through a New Age catalog, you'll see that there are these brain boost machines and instant meditation machines and so forth that work on this principle, that the brain can be affected by and then trained by external signals. And it occurred to me that if HAARP is exactly what they say it is, if there's no black budgets, no covert operations, if it is exactly what they say it is, they could inadvertently create road rage across half the planet without even realizing they're doing it. And if they are intentionally using it, it could be the ultimate mind control device.
Well, I thought I came to my last question, but it brings up another question. Each one of these answers brings up another thought. And what occurred to me is if this energy actually can go down to the Earth and features of oil deposits or whether other countries have broken their treaties, it occurs to me that this energy has to be going through the human body if it's going to go inside of the Earth, since we're living on the surface of it. And that sort of is just mentioning in another way what you've already said. Well, I have to say, Jerry, you certainly have enlightened us. I thank you for coming with this information. And just one more time, would you like to repeat your website?
Sure. It is jerryesmith.com, JerryEsmith.com. You don't even need the darn W's to get there. And the book is A Harp, The Ultimate Weapon of the Conspiracy, available from Adventures Unlimited Press, which is at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. Or 1-800-718-4514. That's 1-800-718-4514.
And again, Jerry, thank you. We'll probably be in touch with you again to talk about some of your other books.
Thanks much.
Bye.
Bye. You.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program. And we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Carolyn Evers of The Messenger Show, and you have just heard Jerry Smith's interview. And the reason that we had Jerry on the show today is because we have had many messages from the Earth Mothers who have come and have given us information as to what is happening on the planet. And so, being the first show, we're sort of out of order a little bit, because what I want to really tell you before we get to what the Earth goddesses have told us about HARP is what I had in mind to give you first, a little message from Archangel Michael, because what he is doing here is he is giving us a description of what it's going to be like when the divisions of the dimensions occur. And we've all been waiting for this. And so when I read this, if you would just try to picture in your mind the what these words are telling you and how this moves along, I think it would be very helpful for you to be able to picture this. And so he starts out and he says, I gather all of you. You come with each of your skills and you add them to those of your sisters and brothers. Your skills will be used in concert to change world events. This, dear heart, is the factor of change in conjunction with my force of mighty blue light. To my blue light, you will add the white and golden light of the Godhead, and these rays will infiltrate the world until they ignite the pink ray. The pink ray of love will permeate all on earth, and they will transmute any thoughts not of God. United, you will become even more powerful as all of your sisters and brothers add their piece of divine love to the group. You will be united in part by offering inspiration first to your brothers and sisters. This will inflame their hearts with the pink ray, which will then go forth to be united with the pink rays coming from other hearts. This will become an intense blaze of divine love, permeating every particle on earth, even to its core. At that moment of unity, the love will be bounced back to divine source in the center of the cosmos. And that will be the signal that all is ready for the dividing of the veil of separation between the two dimensions. By then, all will be acclimated to the higher earth, and finally, the two dimensions will separate as if in a divine birthing process of glory. It will be a divine moment of love, and it will fire the skies as a new creation comes to this part of the universe. We have been waiting for this epiphany for a very long time, and we anticipate this event most anxiously. The time is nearly upon us, and we glory at the thought of it. This is the moment when we shall all see one another. We will all remember a time when life was lived in abundance, and we will all be part of that again. The rest of his message, this is just a little excerpt of it, the dividing of the dimensions, and the rest of it is archangelmichaelconclave.com. You can read the rest. It's on the very front page. Well, I had found that I need to give a little bit of history about my past so you understand how Carolyn Evers sits at her computer, takes messages from Archangel Michael and Mother Teresa and Lady Kuan Yin and Gaia and Mother Isis. And so it was a long journey. And I need to tell you a little bit about this first, I think. And what I wanted to tell you is that I think a defining moment comes sometimes in our life, and it completely changes us. And mine was when my 16-year-old son died. He was more than a child. He was my friend. My religion told me he was in heaven, but I really wasn't sure that what I was taught was accurate. I wanted to know that he was happy and that he was safe. Actually, it had become an obsession with me. And each day that passed, I felt like I was further and further away from him, that he had somehow fallen off the ship of life and I was moving in an opposite direction. And if you have lost someone in your life, you know that there's a time in the grieving process that is very difficult. And I was going through one such period, and I started to cry and hyperventilated, and I rushed outside to catch my breath. And I felt a cloud of love that seemed to surround me, and I distinctly heard, "Mom, don't cry." I stood there stunned because it felt like it was my son speaking to me. I stood there allowing the feelings of love to embrace me, and then it disappeared as suddenly as it had come. I went inside, and I have to tell you, I was very moved by the experience. But then, as another day passed, I thought, is it possible to want something so much that you could imagine such an experience as this? And this is what I thought. It was my imagination. My logical reasoning mind was saying, no, this didn't happen. And so I started to have dreams about him. And in one of the dreams, he was whistling as he walked down a small sunny lane. He had a fishing rod slung over his shoulder, carrying a string of fish, and he seemed so carefree. The legs of his jeans were rolled up. He was barefoot, and there was a dog accompanying him. He glanced at me, said nothing, and then started to make his way through a very small doorway. I tried to follow him, and he said, "You cannot come with me." Easter was close. And my son, Sean, always gave me flowers on Easter, and I was very much aware there would be no flowers this time. And I was even more determined to know if he were safe. I had to hear from him directly. I met an acquaintance, Judy, that I hadn't seen for a long time. She was sitting in my living room, and she called to me. I was in the kitchen, and she said, "Come here, give me your hand." And as she took my hand, she reached up and said, "Your hand is on your son's face." What I felt wasn't exactly electricity, but there was a prickling feeling all up and down my arms, and I believed that somehow the two of us had crossed the divide we call life and death, and my son had visited me to let me know that he was indeed safe. And I looked at Judy, and her face had long streams of some kind of sticky liquid that was certainly not her tears, as she wasn't crying, but she said, "These were my son's tears," as he was saddened by what I would have to go through in the future. And I was in a process of a divorce at the time, and it was indeed a very troubling time. And she told me that when people from the other side come, that many times they leave something so that you can recognize them. And what he left was the scent of the forest after a fresh rain. Maybe you know what this is. It's so distinct. And now there was no doubt that this was my son, because this was my son who I had taken camping and skiing and hiking. We were lovers of the outdoors, and what better way to let me know that this was he who visited. And so this turned into a magical time, which once was very sad, as I said, was magical. He sent me a red bird that constantly pecked at my window, and he said to me, "Feed him, Mom. He is my friend." A mourning dove made a nest on my porch flower box, and I watched as the eggs actually left her body. She then sat on them until they hatched, and I watched as the eggs turned into new life. I felt like I was being reminded of the flow of life on earth, some leaving, some returning. My son had left, and he had shown me some new life. He told me that we had made an agreement before we had incarnated this time, and one would be in spirit, and one would be here to receive the information that would be retrieved. And he started opening Akashic records, and he would read them to me. And as he read, I could see the events unfold before me as if they were in a giant panorama. Then my son started taking me to journey to the past, and he showed me our lifetimes together, and he holds back the stream of time so I can enter, and then I remember, and we travel to lands where we have lived together many times of old, and I speak to these people. In all of this, I have found that spiritual knowledge finds its way to the surface sometimes, only to be hidden again when it is abused by those who wish to control others. And so many times we have brought forth this information when there was the possibility of great spiritual growth. And this, dear friends, is one such special time when there is the great possibility of spiritual growth. And again, my son and I have come back, and we are bringing forth this information. And so that's a little bit about my past. There'll be more. We'll be talking about some more, because as time goes on, little bits and pieces will come out. Now, the first show I'm bringing to you is the concern of our spiritual hierarchy regarding HAARP and the message that the Earth goddesses have given us about this danger. That's why I had Jerry Smith come, and we talked about some of the background. Before I give you some information that the goddesses have given us, I want to talk a little bit about how thought brings things into our dimension. And so one can think a thought, or a group can think a thought, and it become powerful. And it goes through a process where first it's a possibility. That thought is a possibility. And then it moves towards the doorway of probability. And that thought becomes hardened, and it takes on a cloak of its own, so to speak. That thought dresses itself in the material on this plane. And this is what is happening. We have people in different governments who have certain agendas that the thought of that is becoming hardened, and it is coming into this dimension. And what the Earth goddesses are telling us is there are going to be specific times when they are going to ask us to band together, to use our thought to change, to make changes in what is about to come into the hard physical. So some of the things that we have heard about HAARP, and some of the potential and the possibilities that can happen, can be frightening. But we don't want to think of the fear. What we want to think of is what we can do about it. And that's what the Earth goddesses have come, and they are telling us. Now, the first one that I'm going to tell you about is Mother Teresa. Her story has not been put up on the website yet, which is archangelmichaelsconclave.com, and there's a little place there called the Goddess Doorway. All of these messages in their entirety, except Mother Teresa's, is there. And I wanted to read Mother Teresa's first, because she gives us a real interesting idea as to actually what is happening presently. And she says that they consider this an emergency, and they have called upon all their resources to determine what, if anything, we can do at this moment of time. There has been a hole made in the electromagnetic cover around the planet. This is part of the grid system that keeps the spin of the Earth in a steady, balanced progression. Presently, there has also been damage to what would look like netting to you. This netting is right beneath the ionosphere. It cannot be detected with your instruments that measure electrical current, what some call Schumann resonance, but this web or netting protects the Earth from the lightning strikes. This means that even though you see lightning in the sky and sometimes see it strike the earth, most of the electrical current is siphoned off to dissipate along this netting. We approach a period of time when electrical activity will be increasing. Too many lightning strikes in one place, eventually, if they appear in the places where the netting is destroyed, will deplete the ozone layer in the places where the netting is gone. We are repairing this netting, and we note that HARP is in the process of reactivating their transmissions after a period of inactivity. We believe this netting will be repaired in time before their new plans for activity begin again. So we approach a period of where possibility approaches the doorway of probability, and it will be soon that we will ask for your thoughts delivered in a certain frame to stop these possibilities from becoming a probability. All of us have addressed the matter of human consciousness, and we will reiterate it again, that the mind holds powers that you do not even understand. Your mind is the faucet of creation. Turned on, it can allow the completion of thoughts, or it can short-circuit the implementation of thoughts that are undesirable and not to be allowed upon the planet. This is one such time when your creative thoughts are needed to countermand what has been sent out in the controlling thoughts of your government. They have brought forth energies which have hardened with their thoughts, and this is indeed causing havoc on the creative process of Earth. We send special blessings to all who will help us in our meditations. We will be requesting your aid soon, as the deeds of your military will soon be apparent on your planet if not changed. Now, I would like to add to that. Before we had started on this show, we had worked with Archangel Michael and others on the other side who did just this thing. We had sent out at certain periods of time requests for certain meditations. And if you go to thecrystalpyramid.com and check on Earth Changes, click on Earth Changes, you will see some very beautiful graphics as what some of the processes are that we can indeed help Mother Earth. And so they will tell us when we approach this doorway. So make yourself familiar with the graphics. It really helps when you're meditating to see how this works. Now, Lady Kuan Yin is discussing their plan regarding HARP, and I would just like to mention to you, and perhaps you already know this, that she is a member of the Karmic Board and the Doorway of Destiny. That is how she signs this. Lady Kuan Yin, member of the Karmic Board and Doorway of Destiny. I'm not going to read her whole message. If this is something that you feel empathy with, you can read the entire message. She says, you understand that sending vast amounts of standing waves of electricity into the layer of the ionosphere acts like a knife cutting into the protective layer. The antenna might be stationary at the Earth location, but the Earth is revolving. As the Earth revolves, these high-pitched waves slice large swaths of opening into this layer. Atlantis fell many years ago because the science of that day misused inventions of technological warfare. These same individuals have come forth again and are repeating their misdeeds. This is your government's plans. However, your leader, Archangel Michael, has told you in the past that when possibilities enter the entrance of probabilities, these plans or thought patterns can be changed. The results can be mitigated. This is as we have been discussing in the past. Human thought can influence what comes through the doorway of human design, along with the natural forces of play, as long as the natural world is not answering a call from the divine. We gather you and we inform you, and together this possibility can be changed if you will answer our call and cooperate with us. This is our plan, and this is your call. Now, let's talk about this for a little moment. We might say, well, why don't they just do the whole job for us? Why do they need us? Well, on their level, there are certain things that they can do. They're repairing the grids, they are repairing things that are not exactly on our level of thought. So we are the ones on this side, and it seems like the only ones that can really change the thoughts of humans. So they're working on one level, and they need us to work on a level to change human thought. This is a planet of free will, and what I am being told, that they can't necessarily come in and change human thought. That's why they are asking us for assistance. Gaia was another one who came, and her message is really too long to read. If you love the Earth, you really need to read her whole message, because she talks about how she was called forth out of nothingness, how Archangel Michael came to this part of the cosmos at the request of this solar logos, in complete understanding that this would be a new adventure for the two of us. And she talks about how she reveled in the sheer joy of being able to bring forth new life and new life in abundance. And she says that she searched her records and found that the bringing forth of all the diverse life forms caused great joy among all the guardians that sheltered this planet. And she tells about herself how she wanders through the rock formations in Yellowstone National Park and the pools of the heated water that comes from the depths of her bosom. And she sings the melody of the play that is spewed forth time and time again in the gushing waters that park rangers say that you can set your watch to. And she talks about Niagara Falls, how at one time it was pristine and clear, and how the sprites were joyful in their gaiety, and they played in the purity of the waters. And she talks about how they have abandoned the site, that the water to them is polluted and devoid of all life, and it repulses them. We look at it, and we hear the sound of the thunder as it hits the rocks. We might even be covered with some of the spray of water, and there's electricity being generated. And so we think that everything is the same, but she says her children who used to play there are gone. And so she goes through a little process of what has happened to the waters, what has happened to the animals. And she says, alas, I weep for the contamination of this beautiful spot. She talks about the different places and how she feels about it. And she says, if you listen to the waters, you would feel its emptiness. And so she talks about what is happening to the different places, how most of the planet has been despoiled, that there are some places that are still pristine, and she talks about the melting ice caps at the North and the South Poles and how it's littered with chemicals from the factories and gases that have settled from the exhaust. And basically, she is comparing to what the planet was at one time and what it has devolved into. And she says, I walk among such devastation, and I weep at the loss of my creative life, and I watch you as your elected leaders vote to strip mine what little clear land is left and give permission to drill for oil in my pristine lands, where I know that the spills of oil will kill nearby fish and devastate the caribou and the bear. Already you have seen the loss of ice at the polar regions that is destroying my polar bears, and they search for food among land masses, trying to find fish and other food that they need to survive. They will not adapt to the changing land and will soon become extinct, as many other life forms have, because they cannot coexist with your ways of life. And she talks about the years that it takes for the animals to come back once they're close to extinction, and this will not be possible because of other changes to the land. There are volcanoes ready to cough up voluminous amounts of lava. This has always been a part of the cycle of land building and tearing down, but this new cycle is not a natural part of this building process. And so again, she talks about the scientific experiments with waves that should not be used at this time. And these waves have interfered with the moving process of the plates that the continents rest upon. So I have to say, when I read her message, I had a heavy heart, especially one of her paragraphs here that she says that they don't know all the facts behind these waves, and they can destroy the vibratory circuitry that can blow out the life of this planet as one would blow out the burning light on a candle. And I have to say, after I read it, there's a lot more to it along the same lines. I was very saddened by the message, but felt hopeful that there is something that we can do about this. And so that's why we're bringing this and laying these thoughts and these messages at your feet, because we can make a change. Our minds are strong enough. Our force is there. We can make a change. Now, Mother Isis added something to the messages, and she says something. Again, the messages are long, and I'm just reading little bits and pieces of them. But Mother Isis talks about something about light. She says, I'm discussing light because you can direct light with your thoughts. When you are asked to focus your attention on a body part, Earth itself or another individual, you are actually sending particles of white light. This is a form of creation in the early stages of manifestation. You are not creating form in this instance, but rather sustaining form that has already been created. Now, I thought that was a fascinating concept, that when we concentrate on something, we are actually sending particles of white light. Many of you who are hearing this are probably involved in the healing processes. And so in these healing processes that we work with, we're actually sending white light. For those of you who are familiar with some of the photography that is being done today, we are actually seeing what happens when we focus our attention on another in a healing process. And I've seen some of these photographs, and you can actually see this band of white light reaching out to the person that you are focusing your attention upon. And so we have that creative ability. So she's saying the same thing that the others have said. She's repeating what some of the other goddesses have said about asking us to meditate and send thoughts of love and support, but Isis is trying to give us a little explanation as to why this works and why this is so important. And she says, when you're being asked to meditate and change possibilities as they approach the doorways of probabilities, you are really being asked to support creation. And so what we have here that is already created, it came from nothingness, but our attention and our mind power can help support that. And so she talks about the joint venture, how we are going to be asked to work along with them. And so basically this is what this show today is going to be, to give us this idea first, to put us on alert that they need our attention and they need our help. Athena was another one who came, and she said that it's been a long time since she has contacted us. She said she's been in other dimensions working on projects for Melchizedek, and she was called back to assist the other goddesses and hold the space which will protect the earth. And so what she is saying is that all the goddesses have come, and they are holding a space to protect this planet. She has a long message also, and something in her message that I thought might be of interest to you. And she says later in the message, I am Athena. I was among you in Atlantis, and I am among you now. As I said earlier, Melchizedek called me here to work with you until the division is complete. And the division that she is speaking of is the division that Archangel Michael talked about earlier. They're calling it division. Many of us have talked about it using the term as ascension, but they are calling it a division, as there is going to be a division in the two dimensions. And she says, I join my sword of protection with your blessed leader, Archangel Michael, and I say to you, now is the time to go forward. Now is the time of your victory. Now is the time of the light. Sometimes the light might seem hidden because there is so much trauma and negativity in your world as the struggle continues between the several forces that inhabit your beautiful earth. Follow the light that is in your soul. Follow the light that is your God. Follow the light that we hold for you, our friends. Be aware that there are forces that you must follow, and do it today, now. Now is the time of victory. I hold my shield against tyranny. Yes, you see tyranny in your world, but it will be fleeting. Eternal life is just that, eternal. I am one who holds the door open for you. Follow us. Athena, your friend and companion to Archangel Michael. Another long message, again, too long really to read, just tell you a few things that she mentions in her message is Mother of Jesus, Mother of All. And she adds, I wish to welcome you to our passageway to the goddess. I am the doorway. I am the threshold to the divine feminine. It was made so by the collection of spiritual hierarchy that gathered to discuss this new beginning of the human race. This is indeed a new beginning, as it has been decreed by the Supreme Council of Galactic Sages that this part of the cosmos would be elevated beyond the negativity that has imbued this planet for such a long time. These members took the human cries for deliverance and sent them to the center of the cosmos, whereby sits the supreme creator of all. And so what we're being told is that what is happening today is the creator's answer to that cry. The answer couldn't come until certain things was in place, so that there is an astrological aspect to this. Planets and universes had to be in a certain position before the energy from Supreme Source in the center of the cosmos could send it to our planetary system. And we have seen this occurring in our system. We have registered it as gigantic bursts from the sun. And these bursts from the sun
changed in 1999. And during this burst, the stream of electrons that we know of as the Aurora Borealis stopped. And this energy imprinted the Earth. This was, you might say, a foundation for the rest of this energy to come through. And for those of you who are energy sensitive, you will have noticed that there has been wave upon wave of different energies coming. And this is all an answer to what we have asked for. This energy, as it came to Earth, it comes to Earth through the sun, and it literally goes down to the core of the Earth. At the core, there is a geometric shape that is crystalline at the very center. This energy hits the core, and then it begins on its journey back out through the core, back out through the planet, and then it makes its way back to the center of the cosmos again. It is like reading a computer tape. We'll be talking about some of these things in the future. We'll be talking about the Mary Michael lines, how this energy comes through, actually comes through everybody on Earth, really, and how at such places where these lines cross, there is a great significance of power and energy. And many of the Gothic cathedrals have been built where these lines cross one another. And I remember standing at the Salisbury Cathedral, and I literally saw that is one of the places where the energy comes out of the Earth and goes back to the cosmos. It was an exciting, exciting thing to see, because this cathedral stands on the crossing of two of these energy lines. Like I said, that's where the earth is inhaling and exhaling energy. And the group that I was with, this was a very still, almost starless night. Not starless, it was so still you could see the stars. There was no clouds from any manufacturing. And as we looked at the center, at the cross center of this Gothic cathedral, we could literally see the energy as it came out. It looked like a wisp of smoke. And so what I'm saying to you is that this first meeting that we have had today, I have done this at the request of Archangel Michael to discuss HAARP, to make you aware of the messages from the goddesses, and to make you aware that there are going to be times when they are going to ask us to meditate in unison. But to give a little background, not a background, but sort of like a little format of what's going to be in the future, because the future episodes of The Messenger are going to be a little different. Mattia Michelson will join the show next week, and she, as a representative of Archangel Michael, will be doing readings. And so any of you who are listening today, if you have a particular question that you want to ask Archangel Michael, we'll take about two or three from the calls, if anybody calls in and wants this information. So call early, the first two or three. You know, they say, knock and you shall receive, the door will be open. So if you're one of the first two or three, you'll get a reading. And I don't know, maybe you might not want one, but we're making this offer to you. I know the first reading that I had from Archangel Michael was very touching, as he gave me a life reading. Now, we're not going to do this on the show, but at the website, he does answer questions more in depth. And he says, don't ask a question unless you really want an answer, because he's going to give it the way it is. And getting a life reading from him through all of the incarnations that I had and things that I had remembered, it really was a most remarkable benefit for me, a real soul benefit. So next show, We will probably do these readings, offer a couple readings every week, but the next show is going to be about Archangel Michael. This show was the goddess information, and there is going to be some very fascinating information about who Archangel Michael really is, because once you get to know him, as I have learned to get to know him, when I first heard from him, he was on a pedestal so high I couldn't see the bottom of the pedestal. And now I realize he wants a close relationship with him. He wants us to feel like he is our brother. And this is the kind of personal relationship that he would like to have with each of us. So the next show will be about Archangel Michael. Future shows that we will do. Since I'm interested in science, we're going to have maybe every week, it just depends on what's coming up in the science world, some story about science, and then we question the spiritual hierarchy on planetary phenomena, and we'll discuss their answers, because I truly believe that there is a connective link between science and spirituality. These two forces are really related to one another. And I have been awed at when I see things in a science magazine and then I ask the spiritual hierarchy what this means, their answers overwhelm me. And with the kind of answers that they give you, you realize that, yes, the cosmos is large. There is so much involved in the cosmos, but you really get the sense of the beauty and the planning and how God in his creative forces organized all of this, and we are a part of it. One of the things that Archangel Michael says about his light workers is that we are the creators and the rovers of the universe. And so these creative abilities, we will remember them again. And so much of the information in the many books that you find on the website covers earth changes and ascension. We'll be discussing different aspects of these topics. I gave you a little idea about one of the Gothic cathedrals in Salisbury in England, and that was on one of my travels, and I've been very blessed that I've been able to travel a good bit and learn about and bring forth information from the sacred sites. And so we're going to be talking about such things as the Templar secrets. The reason for building the Gothic cathedrals, we'll be talking about, like I said, the Mary Michael lines in England and the Telluric lines in France, and some of the real reasons for medieval pilgrimages. And you might say inside information on some of the secret sites. And we're also going to have guests, and we're going to have guests who have particular information that has to do with the scope of this program. We're not just going to have guests for the sake of having guests. We're going to have guests who are going to be talking about what it is like to raise Kundalini. When they raise Kundalini, what do they see? What energies? And I'm sure there's people out there who have raised Kundalini, but on the other hand, there are people who haven't. And so one of the things that has been told to me is that awareness is the beginning of growth. And so we're going to make some of these things aware to you so that you know that traveling, what this means to the soul, that we can travel to do soul travel and to learn about our place, where we are, what we are. And so we're going to have guests also that are going to be coming and talking about the earth energies and the ancient mysteries. So it sounds like a lot. However, we're going to be discussing these things. We'll have We will have information from one of the books that was given to me, Chaos Before Creation. And in that, there are 13 masters who discuss every aspect of healing. And what that is about is we carry in our body, some of the, in our energy body that is surrounds the physical, we carry traumas that we haven't cleared from some of our past lifetimes. And sometimes we remember these past lifetimes, and sometimes we don't. I can remember some of my past lifetimes where in several of them I belonged to the Knights Templar, and I remember being brutally murdered and tortured, and I have remembered that, and I have been able to clear that from my energy body. And so in this particular work, Chaos Before Creation, what the masters are saying is that if we don't clear these past life memories, when if they have become stuck, I mean, sometimes we clear them, but sometimes they're stuck in that energy body, that the symptoms can intensify into what is identified as disease. And so there's an appendix there which describes which emotion might be the underlying of a particular disease and how it might be cleared. And so perhaps I think everybody is should be interested in this, because it is part of preparing the physical for ascension. We have to clear these. Pope John Paul came to me actually right before it was announced to the world that he had actually passed. And he is such a loving, gentle individual. He's an accomplished soul. And he has earned the right to move on to the higher elevation, but he is staying here to serve the planet. He is in the capacity of an energy worker, because he has the ability to bring in high cosmic vibrations that is going to be transforming the planet. And so all of the work that he talks about is on earth changes. Didn't hear him talk about it as a pope, but now that he's on the other side, this is what he's talking about. And so he talks about Atlantis. He talks about the energies as they come through the sun, some of the things that we just talked about. And I compiled large amounts of scientific data supporting his observations concerning change. And it's really fascinating when you hear from a master on the other side, when they talk about this physical information and spiritual information, and then you find that documented in the science records. It really becomes quite, well, to me, it becomes quite remarkable. Also, he has left a doorway open between his world and our world. And he tells us that all you have to do is envision his face and call on his name, and he will come and work with you. And I've received information from individuals that have told me this very thing. They read his message in the book, and they have done this, and he has come and interacts with them and helps in their quest for perfection. And, of course, Archangel Michael's story is that what he tells us, and this is in Earth history, past, present, and future, he describes how this planet was birthed into consciousness and how he came to cooperate with this solar logos, and what the experiment was here, how we were studying every aspect of emotion. And so for many of us, we're starting to recognize now that we have Earth companions, that we have had many other lifetime we've come with them many times in the past. We've come as brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, mothers and sons, every possible relationship. And the reason that we have done this, with our life partner is because we are studying every aspect of emotion. And so we are going to be the masters of our emotions and learn how to use our emotion to graduate to the next level of development. And so he tells us that when we came, and we kind of know this, we've read enough, we have fallen into a world of forgetfulness. Our memory that we had was cut. And the purpose of this is, he tells us that Supreme Creator wanted to know if we had forgotten everything, would we still want to find God? Would we still want a relationship in God's love? And so the study of emotion and the study of this, wanting this relationship with God, when we have forgotten everything, when we have forgotten where we came from, who we were, will we still search for God? And so that, those two concepts was the reason for this experiment here on Earth. And Archangel Michael told us when he came that we would fall into this loss of memory, and at the appropriate time, when it was time to move on, that he would come and awaken us. And that is what he is doing now. He is making the call. He is gathering his light workers to the conclave because he is telling us it is time to go on. It is time to move to the golden galaxy. And in his Earth history, he describes what it's going to be like when we go to the golden galaxy. Again, how we are going to use our abilities to create. And it's quite fascinating because we will be working with our brothers and sisters who are part of the other planets. So we will be brought into a relationship with them again. And he explains the only way that this can happen is if we love unconditionally. We have to love and accept everyone unconditionally, no matter what planet that they are on, because we are all going to be part of the members of the Galactic Federation. So we're giving you a little idea as to some of the many topics that we're going to be discussing. And since this is the maiden voyage, so to speak, we're giving this overview so that you understand where we are coming from. And for those who maybe have lost a child, if you go to yourchildlive.com, maybe it's not just the child that you have lost. Maybe it's another loved one, a husband, a wife. You might find some solace there. And what I'm going to say is, I know what it's like to lose someone that you love. There is complete devastation. After a while, you learn how to go on and to cope again in this world. But I can say to you, your loved one lives. They exist. I can tell you that because I know my son exists. And this is the laws of the universe. There's not one set of laws for one person and another set of laws for the other. The other thing that I have learned, if you have lost a child, they never forget you. There is an energy bond, and especially a mother. You bring a child into this world, and you bring a child into this world through your body. And so there is a very close tie emotionally, electrically. There is a magnetic tie, and there is a love tie. And I can tell you, love ties are never broken. We might have to say goodbye for a little while, but we meet again. And there is this going back and forth they are never gone. And one day in one of the shows, I think it would be very beneficial, and we're going to talk about this, as to how they see us from the other side, what the mechanism is. I have had several people actually describe this. In conversations with Caesar, Caesar's mother has a beautiful, beautiful story of what it is like to die. As a Roman, she didn't believe in life after death, and she explained how right before she was ready to die, her husband came to her, helped her into the next dimension, and she gives this incredibly beautiful story of how the two of them have worked together ever since, and the choices that people have on the other side, what they can do. They're not sitting around on a cloud playing a harp. Their lives are interesting, exciting, and they are observing, creating, and I think that story of how they see us, how they're still related to us, how they work with us is very fascinating. We have maybe lost people in our lives and we think they're gone, and maybe you haven't learned how to contact them directly, but they are influencing our lives. And we'll talk about that also, some of the loving influences, the loving interaction that they have with us and how they look after us. There is so much to talk about on these shows. For instance, Julius Caesar, in Conversations with Caesar, talks about the Bardo. This is a place not where you go to the light, where you have to contemplate what you did wrong in your life and how you literally have to repair it. And that was really fascinating because he explains all of that after his assassination, where he was, what he had to do. He talks about his defining moments in his life and how he had planned that life, what he had come to do. And that point in history was to be one of the golden ages, one of the highlights, because it was meant to be an era where people would live in cooperation, where there would be trade. It was not intended to be a time of domination. And he explains what happened, what went wrong, how he missed his mission. His mission was actually to bring in, make way the peace for the coming of the teacher. He calls him the teacher, the one that we know of is Jesus Christ. So that time would have been very different in history if he hadn't missed his mission. And so that is a very fascinating story. He starts by bringing in the concepts of the energy. He's another person interested in energy, and he talks also of the energy coming from the sunspot activity, and he talks about how the new earth is forming. And all through so many of the writings, different people on the other side are telling us how the new earth was being formed, and how it is becoming hardened. In other words, it's coming to a point where it will be habitable, and how sometimes we actually live in that new earth. We are spending some of our time in both places, and we can tell when we are there by our emotions, how we feel, the bliss that we feel, the interconnectedness that we feel to love and beauty and the Creator. And so right now we are living in both places, more so in the dimension that we're in, but we can learn to recognize when we are there through our emotions. emotions. And then another story that we have available is Caesar's daughter and the centurion, and that came out of remembering my past life at that particular point in time when my son was not a son. We were lovers 2,000 years ago, and this was all part of the failed mission with Caesar, but we failed in that respect to bring in the Roman peace, but we did succeed in raising Kundalini between two lovers. And so that is a novel. It is not a it is not information like I've received in these other situations, but it's been kind of interesting because I've been able to talk to these people. And that is so fascinating because I've talked to Pompey and Augustus Caesar and those ages and how they saw their lives has been very fascinating. And during that period of time, Julia's mother died when she was very young, and she explains that she was Caesar's life partner, and Cornelia knew that he had taken the wrong path, and she didn't want to be here anymore. And that's kind of interesting, too, how people can prolong their life or shorten their life, again, through the mind and through the willpower. And the other thing that we are hoping to do is have some interplay with you, the audience, if you have questions, in other words, material that we are bringing through. If you have questions with some of the material and you want some information on that, we'll be glad to answer your questions. Of course, that's going to be next week. And I'm not exactly sure how much time we have left in this journey. Well, maybe what we will do is say goodbye, adieu for the day. You are in my heart. I think of all of you who are out there listening. This is our moment to share one another and listen again next week when the messenger will come back again. And we will bring with us Archangel Michael. God bless you all.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.